There is so much in John's gospel about light and darkness. Think for a minute about the things that happen at night. The betrayal of Judas, Peter's denial, the trial of Jesus. The sun is darkened at his death. And then there's Mary going to the tomb before it is light, not believing what's happened. And then we have the alternate gospel of today, which tells the story of the healing of a man born blind. That's someone who's lived in the darkness. It's almost a cosmic struggle between night and day, light and darkness. And into that cosmic struggle comes this man named Nicodemus. I always think of Nicodemus as a kind of twilight man. Nicodemus makes three appearances in John's gospel. This one in chapter 3. Then again he'll appear in chapter 7 when he's among his fellows, his Pharisees, when he gives them words of caution about overstepping their bonds as they propose the death of Jesus. And then finally, there's one more time he appears. It's in the 19th chapter when he's buying a huge and expensive amount of burial materials for the body of Jesus. Nicodemus comes in the night. He's curious and interested. Nicodemus is a man with an open mind. He wants to know more. So he goes to Jesus, not content with hearsay or what others have to say about him. And in today's gospel, we get a little clip of what Jesus says to him about light and darkness, the truth and good deeds. When the conversation is over, Nicodemus is gone, and it's still dark. You see, Nicodemus doesn't want to be seen. Yet we have to think maybe that Jesus liked him just the same way he liked that rich young man who ran up to him and then went away sad. When Nicodemus shows up again, he cautions his companions about trying to kill Jesus. But the truth is, if you read it carefully, that caution is more to protect the Pharisees than it is to protect Jesus. He never really comes out to defend Jesus or to express any faith in him. He takes no real risk. He expresses no faith or confidence in the truth that Jesus speaks. And then the last time, he shows up having spent a large amount of money for burial spices and a cloth. Still, there's no indication that he did one thing to stop that tragedy. All we can tell is that he felt sorry for Jesus. Never in all these appearances does this man ever emerge into the light of faith. All we can say about him is that he was open-minded and curious, that he was fair-minded about Jesus before his own peers, and that he was generous and maybe compassionate. It strikes me that Nicodemus never really inspires because he never really does anything of great importance. Like the rest of the disciples, he misunderstands Jesus. And he also never declares any faith in Jesus. He just keeps his comfortable position of power and only mildly questions what's going on around him compared to the others who were being martyred for following Jesus. He's not going quite the distance with God. In a few moments, we're going to call the candidates before us. In a sense, they have been people who've come in the night. Curious, interested. But unlike Nicodemus, they're moving a step further, and they are professing their faith in Jesus Christ. They are a people not like Nicodemus, the twilight man. They're stepping out of the shadows now, and their deeds and the profession of their faith is clearly here for us all to see. And in a sense, they say something to us, just like this gospel does. Because in all of us, there's still a little bit of darkness, maybe a lot of darkness, from which we are all called one by one by this one who is the light of the world. None of us are ever going to step into the light of Easter morning if we hang around in the shadows, timid, afraid, cautious, and concerned about what others will say of us. We're the children of light who act in truth before God, because the light of the world has come among us.